You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Yes.
Hello, this is Donald Trump from Mr. Cohn. Thank you so much.
Donald who?
One, two, three, four!
Roy Cohn, nice to meet you.
Leroy Cohn, you're brutal.
Guilty as charged.
I didn't always win.
His rules. The first rule is attack, attack, attack.
It's going to be the finest building in the city. Maybe the country. In the world.
Rule two, admit nothing. Deny everything.
There's never been anything like this, of this magnitude, this quality.
Ooh, cheese balls over here.
What are you doing?
You want one?
No, it looks totally disgusting.
Cheese balls.
Rule three, no matter what happens, you claim victory and never admit defeat.
You have to be willing to do anything to anyone to win.
You have a big ass. You gotta work on that.
Your face looked like an orange.
Attack, attack, attack. Deny everything. Admit nothing. Never admit defeat.
What if you lost your fortune today?
Well, then maybe I'll run for president. I don't know.
I say if you're indicted, you're invited.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table. Sorry. Hello, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Periodic table of everything, biggest periodic table, biggest table of all time. Sorry. Everybody hates this already, and I can tell, yep. And I'm very sorry for that.
We all hate ourselves enough, I think,
yeah.
Tonight, because we have to talk about the big T in the room. And we thought, yeah. Look, you know, we just thought, like, it's literally a potential turning point in America's history. They're going to
America,
the polls.
The world.
Well, okay. they said some bad things about Genghis Khan too.
Wow.
Well, hey, no, like, I'm not saying that. Look, we're doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of I've lost Jill. Jill's out. She's like, nope, it's gone.
No, she's just covering over her green screen business. But it did look like you're like, no, nope, fuck this.
Nobody wants to see more rolls of fabric back here.
Look, I don't know. I reckon Tari in the chat would be like, what's the fabric? What is it? What does it look like? Does it have nice edging?
What are we doing tonight?
Tonight, we are talking about The Apprentice, not the TV show that ran for God only knows how many seasons. And
it's still running, and if you do a search on it, it still comes up with 2024. And I'm like, what? No, what? It's still going? I don't want to know.
Just not with Trump.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Christ. I love it. Peter's like, must find out facts.
I'm responding to Preda Kango, who just realised it was Arnie Hammer that had the cannibal stuff, not Sebastian Stan, and I'm pointing out that Sebastian Stan played a cannibal in a movie, and that's probably that. Yeah. He's fresh got them all mixed up, and that's fine.
Unlike actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Hey.
So tonight, yes, we are talking about The Apprentice, which is the film what was it called? The Hatchet Job, the piece of political assassination.
Total lie, none of it's true.
Yeah, all lies. totally fabricated. Nothing there to see here.
Fabricated is too big of a word for Trump.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, lies, all in capitals.
Yeah.
Lies.
Look, they're part of the fake news media. And, like, to be honest, so are we. We're part of the fake news media as well, because we usually review stuff that's not real.
You know what?
This one just skirts.
It is indeed a load of kafefe.
Yes, it is a load of kafefe. But it was interesting. I mean, look at this project. Look at the people involved in the project. Look at the particular timing that it has come out. It's topical, and why not? Let's talk about it. Let's have a look at it. Let's look at it as a film. It's got Sebastian Stan in it. That was the main selling point.
Not accountable.
Not accountable, honestly, famously.
I don't think I would have been in a hurry to watch this at all. Like,
oh, I did not want to watch this. I was like 2 days ago, you guys were like, we're watching The Apprentice. And I'm like, what? No, thank you.
Why? Why don't we watch The Apprentice? Come on, look at the luminaries that it's got in there. You've got Jeremy Strong in there because he's just fresh off his also awful person persona of Secession straight into another awful person persona. And I hope he doesn't end up going down that road of just becoming an awful person. You've got Maria Bakalova. Sorry, Q?
I haven't seen Succession. Is it good?
I wouldn't know because I haven't seen Succession either.
Or Secession or whatever the fuck
I have seen as much as of Succession as I can stomach, and it is very good. But it's not fun, feel-good TV. So I haven't made the commitment that others have. But I believe if you like, you know, car crash family drama that hits a little bit too close to home sometimes, then it's brilliant.
I mean, do I really want to see a thinly veiled television show about the Murdoch family? No, I just don't want to think about them anymore. Like, unfortunately, we have nice? To. I know.
Wouldn't it be nice in like a day, a couple of days, I don't know, you know, things change for the better and we don't have to think about awful people for a little while. Wouldn't that be nice? A positive future.
Yeah, I think it would be nice too. Anyway.
I'm greeted with a wall of... not sure about that, Gwynnie.
So we watched a film that we didn't want to watch. That's the beginning of the talk. Because yeah. Topical.
I do and remember when it was stand. Yeah, when it was yeah. being filmed, because I did see pictures of Seb in the Trump look, and I'm like, oh boy, what are you doing? Yeah. Because he made a weird choice with doing the Pam and Tommy TV series, especially when Pamela was very vocal about not wanting something like that ever made. And kind of went ahead anyway. And so this was another weird one. He does like to do indie films and usually gets his kid off for the other ones. But this was interesting. He wasn't doing an impression. It was more a character study, which I found really interesting.
It was a performance. It wasn't, you know, a caricature or you know, anything like that.
No, it wasn't satirical. It was more like kind of giving a semi-factual biography study of a person.
Yeah. And a biographical study of a person and their relationship with somebody who was, you know, by all accounts and, you know, all metrics, a fucking terrible person.
Yeah. And how integral they were to developing this person's personality.
Yeah. Which,
or at least the techniques that he uses to do what he does.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's really interesting because it is kind of, it's about who he's going to become. And at the start, you sort of feel like, okay, there is a different person there, sort of. But then very quickly, like, you see that there's this, like, the bones are there no matter what. Like, the person who he will become is always there.
It's definitely one of those nature versus nurture situations where you can see somebody being shaped into the person that they are today.
Yeah, very much so.
It was a small level of hard to, like, you know, kind of get on board with it, because even though they kind of try to present him as a somewhat working class person at the start of this sort of film, you do have to realize he's got his own limo that drives him around with his name on it. Like, I mean, come on, you're not pulling yourself up for your bootstraps if you're driven around, you know, most of the places just from the very get-go. You know, it's not like he's a nobody.
Well, I wouldn't say it was necessarily representing him as working class. I think it was pretty clear that he was, you know, already from a business empire that was embroiled in its own controversy at the time.
You mean being a slumlord?
But his real estate mogulness was represented to be less moguly and more having to individually door knock to collect rents.
Yeah. Not as glamorous.
I think it speaks to the constant facade.
Exactly. Like his job was definitely not glamorous. It was a lot less than what he would make it out to be.
Yeah, and I think that was a really important thing to kind of show, because what we see from him these days is all about facade. It's all about like the gold plated everything. It's about the marble floors and everything. But as we're all aware now, every gold plating is over a piece of tin, and the marble floors are covering, you know, some spack filler and a lot of black mold. Like it's all fucking front. And I think the movie does a pretty good job of explaining that or exploring that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you go, Dave.
I was just going to say, like, I want to, like, rather than talking about the content of the film, I wanted to also discuss things in it that kind of shat me a little bit, but I found a little bit difficult to access because it's shot in such a way to try to be representative of the time. You know, it's shot in 4x3. A lot of it, it's got some terrible grain going on, but then it's also using
Didn't like this artistic style choice?
No. I liked it.
I really liked it.
And I felt like I was watching a documentary from the time.
Yeah, a lot of the time. Me too. Point.
Yeah, and but also there was like a lot of weird camera usage, like camera handheld stuff and jerky motion kind of thing. So I think, yeah, like you're right. It did add to this idea of like, is this actual footage? Like, did you kind of get this? Is this 70s grain? It added to that sense of magical realism that kind of permeates around Trump these days. Like by these days, yeah, most of the time I look at him, I'm like, what fucking craziness? Jesus, you've just gone off the deep end again. But this actually sort of started at this point. We're like, oh, he's just been bonkers forever. And then you start to learn more about the people around him that he sort of fed off to create this stupid worldview. And you start to realize, holy shit, he's just been around absolutely terrible people for his whole life. And no wonder he's insane like that. And he just seems to have failed upwards.
Well, I mean, I'm just so to anyone who is wondering, the synopsis of the film.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sorry, I think it's pretty obvious. And no, I don't have music for this because I honestly couldn't work out what possibly Boogie Woogie.
How about any licensed song that he has used without permission in his campaign proceedings that also has gay connotations?
Maybe We're Not Gonna Take It by Twisted Sister.
But you have to do the synopsis, but you're not allowed to use the Trump voice.
Oh, okay.
Shit. Any other person.
What do I do?
I know. Any other person from the movie except for Trump. Rupert Murdoch. There you go.
Ivana.
And remember, Quinny, okay, she's not Spanish.
Hey, fuck you and the horse.
Called shit out send time for a reason, Dion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't
look. If I was doing it would go straight to Borat. So let's get some credit.
Well, I mean, to be honest, there is actually a little bit of a link there between Ivana and Borat.
That's true.
Okay, let's just give this a go. And a little bit of that, a little bit of that.
Ready? Whoop.
Right. A young Donald Trump, what do you think you're... early, sort of eager because to make his name as the hungry second son of a wealthy family member.
I want you to straighten up this area now!
That is not the fucking piece of music I want.
No, can you fucking...
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Okay, now we get it. Okay. He comes under the spell of cutthroat lawyer Roy Cohn,
Cohn sees in Trump the perfect protege, someone with raw ambition, a hunger for success, and a willingness to do whatever it takes to win, especially when it comes to prenuptials. There we go.
I mean, it's either Ivana or Trump's KGB handler, one or the other.
Hey, I'm not proud. In fact, and I'm not good, let's be honest here, but this is what we got. So that's where we're at.
I just enjoyed watching the rest of the suggestions since you put that music clip in and had a bunch of stuff about Trump, which we're talking about. Okay. The internet is listening to us and always making sure that we are following the narrative. Great.
Okay. Okay. Well, if it had been Borat, it would have been Yakshimash. But no, that's not this. I was going for shitty quasi-Russian. Where is Ivanka?
Czechoslovakia.
Ivana.
Yeah. Not Ivanka. That's the thing. I keep getting those two confused in my mind.
That's
what happens when you just add a letter to your name when you name your kids.
Yeah.
But I mean, what about Donald Trump Jr.?
What about him?
Yeah. Best acting whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, yes, the good old Borat thing, having Maria Bakalova. Not Baklava.
Yeah, not Baklava.
Not Baklava. In what I've got to say was, like, her performance in this was very straight edge comparative to it. It wasn't played as a comedy role. And I got to say, this I walked into going, this should be funny. I think this is going to be funny.
No.
I know, right? And then there's, like, a bit in there where you're like, it's kind of funny because it's just, like, it feels a bit stupid. And then there's a big turn.
I think if they made this movie as a full satirical comedy, it would lose the impact.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
To make a comedy. They'll do it every fucking week. You don't need to add to that.
I think it actually has to be a horror show, and it has to feel like you're watching somebody be seduced by, like, something that is just fucking evil, and then overtaking that and becoming more evil, and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, okay, yeah. And I think Maria, you were right, Dan, she was playing it very straight, but I think most of the people, like, in the secondary roles are all playing it dead straight.
Yeah.
And that is why it works.
Yeah, it's more of the ridiculousness of the situations that you're in, and you start trying, like, I mean, we're already at the exhaustion point, I think, with Trump nowadays, where you're just like, how can this be any more ridiculous? So they kind of went the other way, and they're kind of like, no, look, here's where this is. This is actually where he got all that from, and look at the hypocrisy of where he got that from. I think it was the biggest thing that I walked away with from it, which was just like every single thing that he says and does is based on the fact that everyone else around him was just lying constantly and creating a reality that held no sway because it was just, you know, win at all costs, doesn't matter what you say, just keep pushing through and do just absolutely terrible things.
Attack.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the art of the deal. That's the Roy Cohn masterpiece. He created a monster. But how did he get that way?
It's also the narcissist playbook.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. I guess we've all had narcissists in our life in some capacity or another.
What do you mean, Quinny? I'm still here in your life today.
I was going to make the joke at your expense, and then I thought, no, you get there before me. Because you will.
I'll go in there.
But yeah, you're right, Pete. It is that thing of like
it's the three rules are basically what we would call DAVO: deny, attack, reverse, victim, and offender. Like it is what it is. He's basically just abusing, but just the entire world, using a well-known narcissistic abuse tactic. So yay for putting that into 2 hours of film.
I got to admit, I was surprised when it first started, just the look and feel of it. Like, because we talked briefly about the way that it's shot, that like it is shot very much to emulate the time that it's showing you. So in the 70s, it's shot like a 70s film, you know, and on 70s film stock at a guess. But like the choice of shots and everything, and even the sound and everything made it feel like I was watching a 70s piece. And then as it moved through into the 80s, it was bizarre because I found myself going, fuck, I feel like I'm watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Like, but the TV show of it, the way that they shoot the shots, the way that they, you know,
yeah,
look at the man and everything. I was like, wow, somebody did a lot of work to make this feel like a particular time period. And I really appreciated that. Sorry.
I enjoyed that as well. I enjoyed the costumes. Like, I enjoyed Ivana's costumes. I was equally as annoyed with Dion, but also appreciated the kind of verite style camera work, because it did feel like archival footage, and I think that was the point. And particularly, you know, that kind of archival footage that you might root out to tell a story like that, if you were going to do it in documentary, you would probably have to choose some of the most annoying, shakier shots to get, you know, the right reaction to tell the story that you want to tell. So that kind of rung true to me. What I have trouble with here is my enjoyment level, despite appreciating a lot of the elements of it from a film perspective. My actual enjoyment of it was very low because I did not want to watch this. I don't want this man in my orbit. I don't generally like biopics of people that I don't really want to know anything about. And also, you know, the style, this, you know, very kind of fast-paced style of it all the way through, which is very reflective of the facade and how the facade works. But it really kind of is just kind of being trapped for 2 hours in shitty business conversations that you don't care about.
Yeah.
Delivered by a person who is lying with every word. So it's kind of like a hard one to really assess, because I'm like, okay, does it achieve what it set out to achieve? I think it does. Did I have a good time? Absolutely not. And would I recommend somebody else watch this? Probably not. They probably would have as bad a time as I had watching it. So then it's kind of a hard one to assess.
Curious about that. I don't know, has anyone else seen the film The Last King of Scotland?
No, I did not, for which a good was, reason.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's the same kind of thing, which is it's about Idi Amin. And that one is the same kind of, like, a sort of biopic about him as well. And I had pretty much the same kind of views on it when I saw it. It was like, it's a good film, but I can't really recommend it for people. Because the subject,
and it's matters. Funny because, like, is there a place for it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's called documentary.
Like, as a piece of culture, as a you know, why do we tell stories? Was there a reason to tell this story? Was there a reason to tell this story now? Yes. Can't fault any of that. Did I have a good time? 100% no. Yeah. Is it successful in me not having a good time? Yes. So where does that leave us?
Is that the intent?
No, you are not supposed to have a good time.
Yeah. Same thing with the Devil's Double.
Where does that leave us?
Did anyone see The Devil's Double?
No. You're just bringing up a whole bunch of films that we haven't seen. Tell me more about this.
It seems like there's a whole genre in there, but like, of films which are about actual people, but they're fictionalized accounts, but they're not supposed, I mean, it's hard to like them because they're not likable. Like, you know,
what's The Devil Double about?
It's about Uday Hussein. Do you know who Saddam Hussein's son? Basically a terrible person, just absolutely. And it's about someone who was hired to be his body double. So his assassination victim.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And gotcha. Yeah.
Pritikanger is asking who he thinks the audience is for this film. And I would say it's probably for the curious. I don't think it's for people that like Trump. Nope. I definitely don't think it's for people that dislike him as passionately as we all do. But I think it's for people who are curious about him as a human being. Because there's no narrative in this that paints him in a good light. There's definitely no sympathy to be felt for him as a person. He's honestly always making poor choices and being deplorable at every point. He does have an emotional scene over the death of his brother, but I mean, you can feel empathy for somebody going through that, but definitely not sympathy for the rest of his life. And I think the same can be probably said about Roy Cohn as well. Like, it was a terrible way for him to die, and he was treated poorly by people that were supposedly his friends. But I think when you kind of breed that sort of relationship with people, you don't truly have friendships. So it's kind of hard to feel bad for Roy Cohn as well.
Yeah, no, I don't think the intent is for us to feel bad for Roy Cohn. Like,
no, but I feel like in movies you should come out feeling a certain way about the characters that you went on a journey with.
Yeah, I heard this described as a possession movie, that essentially it was Donald Trump being possessed by Roy Cohn. Slowly but surely. And I actually and I thought that's really interesting, and that's one of the things that made me want to watch this film, because I wanted to see what that was about. And I gotta say, I think Mark Kermode got it wrong in this one. I think this is one of those ones where it's not about possession, it's about something being unlocked. This is a Pandora's box. This is about somebody who is always potentially going to be a spectacular piece of shit.
Oh yeah, he was in the right place at the right time for that to happen to him.
And then got the information about how to successfully be a spectacular piece of shit.
Was given the keys to the kingdom and was shown that the worst thing you can possibly do will actually get you what you want. And being the worst of humanity will actually get you further than anything else. And the thing that gets me about that is it's antithetical to my entire belief system. You know, I found this so repugnant to me, because it's just not how I see the world, and I can't believe that people do see
how the world works, and that is a hard truth.
I mean you gotta believe that karma is out there biding its time, but Christ, I wish it would strike.
Sometimes terrible people do terrible things and they get away with it, and nothing bad happens to them, because that's the world we live in. And the problem with you know, people like him and others is that we all live, you know, in general by a certain social code. We have community, we have conscience, we have this idea of, you know, knowing together and feeling together. And even if you have never been taught the exact rules on paper, instinctively understanding how to behave in a community. And there are people out there who don't have, who understand the rules. They know the rules. They've seen the rules in action, but they genuinely do not give a shit about the rules. And so they operate outside the rules in a way that we would never be able to, because our conscience actually won't allow it. And unless those people are doing things that will get them put in jail, they get to do things like become president.
And even if they do things that will get them put in jail. you know.
And it's hard sometimes to, the system isn't necessarily set up to put these people in jail if they're rich white men. So there's that. And that applies to lots of things that we've dealt with over the last few years. And that's why I didn't really want to watch this film.
So not going to recommend you know, going down that that rabbit hole of terrible biopics about terrible people for the future. But thank you for suffering through this for us to understand what it is. Should we rate it?
How? Oh. Read it.
Oh, with great fucking difficulty.
I'm real easy. 50.
It's okay.
Not because
You know what?
Not because 50 because
it's no 50 because it's like it's a fair fence sit. It was a well-made film, but the subject matter was terrible.
And
sorry, Peter's mouth is just turning into this.
No, because if I'm rating on technique, then 80. Easy.
Yeah.
If I'm rating on subject matter, 0.
This is what I was saying. Like, I'm going to go 50 because I don't want to see this or recommend it to other people. But it is actually a well-crafted film that shows a great turn of, like, there is a character development and there's interesting little tidbits. But it's just so obnoxious. You're just like, man, I really hate they had to make this.
So then the question is, why now has it been made? And I think there is something to be said for, in the face of such incredible alternative facts being presented by one side, to put into popular culture something that studies, you know, in its own fictional way, a different version of those alternative facts that people can watch in terms of feeling like they're being entertained and then, you know, maybe learning a thing or two.
Maybe you said
subject matter aside, maybe that's not a terrible thing to be in the world.
Maybe you said it correctly there, Peter, and maybe you need to offer two there. You need to give it a rating and then an alternative rating.
Well, that's it. The rating is 80. The alternative rating is 0. But let's split it down to I don't know how you're gonna deal with that.
You're gonna split the difference.
Do I get two ratings?
You can give two ratings too.
Yeah. No, I'm
fuck it. Everybody can have two ratings. You get a rating and you get a rating.
And we're
going to be the biggest rating ever. It's going to be the most ratings.
And the chat's going to pay for it.
Predakanga's making a good point in the chat, which is that we usually at the Periodic Table of Awesome rate based on enjoyment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And bring me down to where you guys are at 50.
Okay. I'll do all of this shit I've been typing and now I'm just like select all, delete 50.
Yeah, from Peter it's 50, from Dion it's 50, from Jill, did you go 50 as well? Or you go,
I mean, Peter raised some really good points about, you know, like the quality of the filmmaking and like the performances were actually really good as well.
The performances are great.
But yeah, I didn't have like a fantastic time either.
But you weren't supposed to, so it didn't fail.
Yeah.
No.
I'm maybe going to give it like a 65.
Okay. That's cool.
I'm very flexible on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Chat, if you have seen it,
I don't know what to do with it.
Put in a rating if you've seen it. I would love to combine all of those numbers. Yes, TK, we could have given it a 69.
But it was not nice.
No,
because not nice at all.
It wasn't it wasn't pleasurable for anyone.
No, it was just like...
Oh, yeah. Also trigger warning for sexual assault because that was a surprise.
And that was a turn.
If you are going to watch it, there's, you know, a scene, unexpected.
Yeah.
Fairly distressing scene in there.
Yeah, very, very brutal part of that, which... Yeah, that's why we're saying, like, if you're going in looking for laughs, you're not going to have laughs.
Not going to find them. And brutal and based entirely on deposition that was handed down in a court of law. So if you're questioning whether or not there's any veracity to it, yes, this is stuff that was spoken about in a court of law and then recanted later. So, and was like, oh, okay. Look, for me, I'm very much the same boat as all y'all, that it's like, it's a well-made film and it's like the structure of it is interesting. I like the way that they move through the decades. I found myself so often looking at it and thinking, Jesus, that could be like a shot of video from the 80s. And that could actually have just been Donald Trump. It could have been a piece of footage from him back in the 80s. And I would have believed it because it was so accurate to its time. And I hated so many of the people because the performances were so good. And I thought Sebastian Stan was amazing because he didn't just do an impression. It was a nuanced piece. And that moment where he does have an emotional reaction to something, it is the most viscerally dislikable he is in the film at the same time. Like, you know, the first time you see him showing something akin to a real emotion, he is just he's a cunt about it at the same time. And I was like, yeah, right. That's and for that to evoke that kind of a strong emotion in me, the film really succeeded. I don't want to watch it again. I really didn't enjoy it. And would I recommend anybody else watch it after tomorrow? Probably not. I mean, because I'm hoping the guy just fucks off and disappears. So for me, it's a 79 because I think it's a good film. I didn't enjoy it at all. But I do think it's actually a good film. And as you say, when it's made and when it's released is a very intentional thing. And if it is, as Donny Boy calls it, a hatchet job, and it was set out to be a hit on his character, good, fucking nice work.
Well, and that's done. The other thing. Like, you've got to take intention into account as well. And I don't think the intention of this was to help Trump win an election. So you know what? Fuck, put me back up to 70. I just
You are easily swayed, aren't you, Pete?
I just don't know how to do this one.
This is the absolute perfect example of us becoming Trump because we watched this. Because we just are on a sliding scale backwards and forwards, changing. I don't know, maybe it's 50. I don't know, it's 17. Some people say that it's 29. We don't know. Like, we come in here, we give you ratings. It moves around.
Sorry, I like that. TK saying, I'd watch an episode of you guys talking about great movies you'll never watch again.
There are so many that I watched in film school that I will never watch again. But they were excellent.
I think we could do a very interesting episode about that.
We have. I think it's just this year's reviews. Morbius. Never watching that again.
You know? Still haven't talked about Venom 3, have we?
No. Well, it's actually got a lower score than Morbius on fucking Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, fuck, did it?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's Morbin time. Back to the cinema for that one.
I think Witness would be on my list. I'm never going to watch that again.
Oh, God. The Harrison Ford one?
I think I had to watch it about 100 times in high school.
Yeah, it was one of those high school texts, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. God, yes.
Yeah, for me it's Raging Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Because great work, but, like, the violence, I just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I saw Titanic.
Taxi Driver.
Once.
What's that?
I saw Titanic once.
Oh, God. Yeah, once is enough for Titanic.
You guys didn't have a best friend when you were 14 who was so obsessed with the movie that she saw it more than 10 times at the cinema, and you had to go to 3 of those.
Oh, God. That's the only reason why I saw it in the first place was a group of high school friends were like, let's go. And they're all crying, and I'm like, please get me out of here.
I do believe mine was my first 3-hour movie.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I came out with swollen ankles. It was like a fucking.
I think it was all of our first 3-hour movie.
I probably have a DVT from watching Titanic.
I took a girl on a date to Titanic, and then she moved to the Netherlands the next day, and I was like,
there was no room for you on that door, Quinny.
Nope. She's just like, off you go. And I'm like,
you suck so hard. She moved country.
Yeah. No. I was like, what are you doing tomorrow? And she's like, moving to the Netherlands. I was like, cool.
Okay.
Really hated Titanic.
But while we're on this tangent, if anybody in Sydney has the opportunity to go see Titanic at playing
in Grand Hills, Electric,
please go and do it. I fucking hate Titanic, but this was fabulous.
Love Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic, 10 out of 10.
Is that the one? Excellent. What's it about, though? Like, I mean, just a quick...
There's a ship.
Quick synopsis. It's from the perspective of Celine Dion. She thinks she was on the Titanic and it was a historical moment for her. But in all honesty, all the characters around her are the movie actors. So it's a real weird one.
Sounds amazing. I love the whole concept.
Yeah. And it's a musical.
Okay. All right. That sounds... In fucking incredible. Okay, yeah, we're going to go to a clip, and then we're going to come back and talk about some other shit.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, Judy, about 100 reporters were crawling up my ass to get this interview, and I gave you the exclusive.
Yes, hello, Judy. This is Donald Trump. I'm very excited. Very excited to talk to you.
Be excited.
Donald, now that the lawsuit is behind you, what do you want to do next?
Well, I intend to acquire the Commodore, and I'm planning on making it the best and the finest building in the city, maybe the country, in the world. Judy, in the world, it's going to be the finest building in the world. It's going to be a spectacular hotel, absolutely spectacular, first class, and...
That sounds very ambitious. Where do you get the drive? Still so young, Donald.
I got flair, and I'm smart, so I think that's going to make me successful. But I also want to stay humble.
Sorry, Judy. Listen, let's do the rest in person and bring a photographer, okay?
Sorry, all right.
No, I mean, listen, it's your life. You got a ways to go, but you're learning.
Welcome back. As Peter was just saying, yeah, it's interesting hearing the evolution, like, of the phrasing and the way that they talk. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, it's nothing new. It's always been the same. It just got a bigger audience. Thanks, so social media brain rot.
What have we watched this week that was poor quality and we didn't hate?
Yeah, what was terrible but was great because we enjoyed it?
Not poor quality, very good quality and very great. I saw this little anime movie on Saturday called Look Back. It was such a sweet film.
Oh, yes.
It was only an hour, so very manageable movie. It was lovely. It's like a little slice of life thing about two girls that kind of have a rivalry through drawing manga in middle school and then, yeah, grow up to be manga illustrators and then, you know, life takes a turn and shit happens and... Yeah, quite a sad and touching story, but beautiful. The simplicity of the animation was great. They weren't doing too much, and performances were really lovely.
Yeah.
I think if anybody gets a chance to go and see it, please do. It also comes onto streaming on Amazon Prime on Thursday.
Interesting bit of history about this one as well. So the creator of it is the person who created Chainsaw Man.
Yes.
And this is actually a slightly biopic. That this is kind of the story of him and one of his friends that he worked with through making Chainsaw Man. And when things go really unpleasant at one stage, that was when one of the manga offices was burnt down by somebody
Yes, there. Yeah. Okay. So there is a trigger warning for a domestic terrorist attack in the film that was quite confronting, and it's based loosely around the historical moment that happened at an animation studio in Kyoto.
Mm. Yeah, I caught it last weekend, I think. And yeah, it was really good. Like, yeah, as you say, just simple, but really lovely. I was very pleasantly caught off guard by it.
Yeah, so catch it in the cinema if you can, or it's on streaming on Amazon on Thursday.
Yes, yes. Dan, what have you been watching or doing or enjoying?
You know, just lots of reruns. Been watching Breaking Bad and The Wire, two of the greatest TV shows. No,
you rewatch Parks and Rec too?
Yeah. The Sound of Music on in the background. Just
oh, get to nice. Places. Yep.
No.
Right. Cool.
All the favourites.
I went along, thanks to Sugoiko, and checked out the Godzilla 70th anniversary 4K restoration. Which is still a great film. Look, you have to get away from the whole thing that it was like it's goofy Godzilla things, but the heart of the film is still really impactful and really important. Yeah. And it was made,
1954.
1954. Yes, you're right. But the whole fact to think about this is it was made less than a decade after the events of post-World War II or of World War II. In the same sort of way I started thinking about that when I was watching it about, oh, this is like if something happened currently only 10 years later and I think back to like, what was happening in 2014? Oh, yeah, right. You know, so you start thinking how current that this was, like the Godzilla was. And you start to really appreciate like just how groundbreaking and important it was and still continues to be, you know, because it still tries to teach that message of, hey, maybe don't fucking fuck with nuclear shit, or like, let's try not to destroy everything. Let's look out for each other. And it's always been a warning.
Sorry, I realize this is an American like revisiting of it where they've used,
yeah,
by the looks of it, the model stuff, but then edited in their American people.
Yeah.
Ugh, yuck, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wrong. But sure. And also made me remember that, you know, Godzilla Minus One is really cool. And aren't they making a Godzilla Minus Two?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
But apparently yes.
Sorry. Currently for the 70th anniversary, they're playing this 4K restoration. They're also playing Minus One and Minus One Minus Color. So if anybody wants to watch Minus One in black and white, that's also playing in the cinemas.
Yes. And the director of that did say recently that he had been approached to direct a whole bunch of other big things, but had felt very bad and had to say no to all of them because he's directing the next Godzilla film. So cool. Godzilla Minus Two or Minus One again, or Minus One Turbo Hyper Fighting Dragon Edition Dragon Punch.
Yes.
Yes, Alpha.
Oh, awesome.
That's great.
So that is very exciting. And yeah, I got to say, I really enjoyed watching that on a big screen.
Like, yeah, it was great. 4K resto was schmick.
And yeah, as you say, there's it's a darker film than I remember. Like,
it was played real serious and all the actors gave incredible performances.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and like there was a bit that I said to somebody the other day, and I was like, there's a bit where they're talking about, you know, somebody, they're saying, oh, I guess we're going to have to start going to the bomb shelters again. You know, I only just narrowly escaped Nagasaki, and now we're going to have to go back to the bomb shelters. And you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. And that's just kind of a water cooler conversation.
Like, yeah.
You know, we just finally put all that to, now I have to, It's still a very timely film 70 years later, and that's hard to do. Makes you realize we haven't come real far. Keep trying, fight the power.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow, fight that power. Fuck's sake.
Yeah. America, don't fuck it up. Pete, what have you been engaging with?
I've been watching the latest series of Shrinking. which is great. You know, we've talked about that before. I like it even more this season, I think. There's stuff that happens. I had one too many conversations with people in my recent trips who were obsessed with K-drama. I got a recommendation and have been diligently trying to work my way through Queen of Tears. I thought that I was getting, like, I thought that I was at the end of it because I was on episode 10, and then I realized that there are 16 episodes, so I'm having a little break.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have watched any Korean drama outside of Squid Game, which is not this genre at all.
Yeah. Jill was all down for the K drama.
Yeah, I was a big J drama watcher back in the day, and I did watch a K drama one that was based off a J drama that was based off a manga. very confusing shit.
I mean, look, it is nicely done, and it is there's definitely plot and characters that I am going to need to watch to the end of the 16 episodes resolve.
After he got together with the girl, how long did it take for her to develop cancer?
Jesus.
There's a formula.
Look, the final episode, she'll be dead. Or he'll be dead. You never know.
Storytelling isn't 100% linear. I'm on episode 10 of that. There are many twists and turns. But pacing-wise, it doesn't match my brain at the moment. And the episodes are like an hour and a half long, and there are like big dramatic moments where it's just cutting to reactions for what feels like 10 minutes.
90-minute episodes and 16 of them.
Yeah. So I've been working through that.
That's like the length of a syndicated season, to be honest, but just halved it.
Jeez. I would not recommend it, but the thing is that you can't multi-screen, obviously, if you want to hear the original audio, which you do because dubbing. You can read the subtitles, so it's just a big commitment to do 90 minutes of those that you can't, like, you know, multi-screen or do anything else while they're happening or you move what's going on. That is my current experiment in a different format of television.
Nice.
Okay, how about you, Quinny?
I've been watching all sorts of things, but actually what I've been doing is listening to something, and this is going in a very different direction, and my apologies for kind of taking us into all new areas.
No, Quinny, you're not getting into the Joe Rogan podcast, are you?
Well, it's funny you should mention that.
Make us watch the Joe Rogan bio.
No, God, no. Joe Rogan. No. Something far cooler. So on October 18th, a new concept album was released by somebody who we, I think, all love in some way, shape, or form, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm just gonna bring him up so I can see who his writing partner is on this, because his writing partner is Issa Davis, and it's a concept album based on the movie The Warriors, and it's essentially a hour and a half long musical, but just music so far, nothing on stage, retelling The Warriors. So that 70s movie where the Warriors are trying to get from one end of New York to the other in one night.
Come out to play.
But with Lin-Manuel Miranda and others doing, and half the cast of Hamilton doing the music. And I'm going to play you a little bit of it because it's fucking banging.
Okay.
In plus New York, crews of the city, who
So basically, it's the film just taken through a different beat. But in this one, the warriors are all female. So I think at least three of the Hamilton main leads are females, Philip Sue and a couple of others are the members of the warriors. I can't even remember, but yeah, it's so fucking good. Like, it's got the usual blend of Lin-Manuel Miranda's rap and, you know, really tight lyrics and stuff. But it's got this kind of 70s funk vibe through some of it. But then depending on the gangs that they run into, it switches to totally different type of music. So at one point they run into this gang of, like, pretty boys, and it becomes like a hip-hop number. And it's done a little bit more. Sorry, yeah, it's hard to talk over the dialogue.
Yeah,
basically, if you've ever seen the film, or even if you haven't, and you just like Lin-Manuel Miranda, check it out, because I've had it on hard repeat for the last couple of days, and it just fucking slaps. And you can find it on YouTube if you want to go looking at the lyrics as they come up, or on Spotify. But yeah,
sounds cool.
I got hard. I got real hard.
Are you just starting about thinking about starting a street gang now, Quinny?
Oh, look, man, me and my sisters of the Warriors, yeah, we're gonna go and stab some people in the boroughs of New York.
Yeah, something I really
connect
with.
I feel like I would need to understand the context to enjoy that. Yeah. Like, the music sounds good, but I wouldn't understand the story at all with just lyric.
Well, lucky for you, Jill. Next week we're reviewing the Warriors, the 1970s. I could also see Peter's eyes go shit. No. What are we reviewing next week?
That's a real good fucking question. What are we reviewing next week? I have to go and look at Facebook because that's where we.
That's where I go to find out what I need to watch this week.
Hey,
just the Facebook banner.
Yep, we're very, very professional at what we do. Hey. Okay, we are looking
at... I know Dion puts it in a better place. I just can never remember where that is.
Sure. It's called that chat thread that we're all involved with that I put it up for before I put it on the Facebook.
Yeah, but we also put so many memes in that. You've got to scroll all the way back.
Media, files, and links. Go to that tab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next week we're doing The Franchise, which is a Max? Yes. Production, which is about making superhero movies, and so that should get a tickle out of everyone who has ever worked in a production or worked with people who have worked in a production or know people who work in a production of something.
Or it may just open up a whole bunch of PTSD of anyone who's worked on a large film.
But everyone on the films already has PTSD, and that's what you're watching their PTSD, so it's better. It's like if you worked in hospitality and you watched The Bear, you know.
Yeah.
It's an itch you have to scratch. And then coming out the rest of the month,
first episode. Good.
In the 19th, we were going to do TV, but we may postpone till the Wednesday, just depending. But that's because Peter and Jill have to go and do something on the 19th.
Do some wicked things.
Yes.
Oh,
so they can get
very
into
nice.
The wicked film for later. Wicked. And for anyone asking, before you ask, we didn't decide, we don't really want to talk about Gladiator at the moment because no one could be bothered. Because the first one came out 24 years ago. Even I'm bored of it, really. Like,
I don't care that it came out 24 years ago. I just looked at every single trailer for it, every piece of marketing, everything, and I just went, I actually don't give a shit and I don't want to watch it.
But Quinny, there's a CGI rhino.
And therein lies the reason. If I want to watch one CGI rhino this year, it'll be in Kraven the Hunter. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
There's already a CGI rhino in Spider-Man 3. And that's Andrew Garfield Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was a CGI rhino in The Mandalorian season 1. Remember?
Was it really a rhino?
Well, so we can watch Pedro Pascal in a helmet fighting the rhino.
It's called a mudhorn. Remember, it's the furry egg that he had to go get. Do that.
I also want to shout out, because I haven't said it and we haven't followed up on it. What else have I watched? I have actually been watching something else. I finished watching Agatha All Along.
I just started. Don't tell me what happens.
Oh, shit, Pete. It's good.
It's very
I nearly died of exposition in the first 5 minutes, but I decided to
The pacing in episode one is a race.
Yeah.
Good news is, Pete,
but honestly,
you'll get to scratch your Mephisto
itch. A lot better than I expected it to be. And the ending was quite emotional.
Maybe I'll finish that before I go back to the last 6.5 hours episodes of Queen of Tears.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing that they're planning on doing a second season, or like leads us to a certain point, but as long as she ends up looking like comic accurate Agatha Harkness by the end of it, I'm down for that.
It kind of semi got there.
Yeah, because I really want the, I want it to end up that same way, which is like Fantastic Four Reed Richards, Franklin Richards, babysitter is Agatha Harkness. there's a deep cut. Yeah, did you not know?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. You got that gonk handy somewhere?
I got done earlier when I talked about the mudhorn. See, the mudhorn is a native of
You've already been gonked by Tari.
I know.
Yeah.
Can't help it. I'm trying to wash the stain of Trump out of my fucking brain.
One thing.
We've got a whole day tomorrow to sit on the internet with our buckets of popcorn and watch the results roll in.
Good luck, everybody. Polls open in 1 hour.
Oh, Jesus, really?
6 a.m.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah, that's my one hope for America is stay safe, everyone. Just, be alive.
Be good to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, now, like, if there's ever a time to say it, go and vote. If you were thinking, oh no, maybe I'll give it a miss. No, don't. Today's the day. Like, go and do that.
Yeah, engage in that thing that you can do sometimes.
Engage in democracy before it turns into an autocratic empire.
Yes.
Yes. As has been directly quoted.
I also do want to shout out to the cameraman who is the hero of the week. In the middle of one of his rallies where Trump's talking about the fact that there's no empty seats, this is the most full, the camera operator who just starts tilting up the empty seats
and then turns and across, then pans
panning
across.
Around and takes it off its mount so that he could turn around further, and all while it's going straight out to C-SPAN. So to whoever that camera operator is, if you lost
what
the
a
job,
hero,
congratulations, you have 1 hour.
Including watching the people like walking out during his speech.
Yes.
At the exit,
like, I love that he really hung on them for quite a while.
Biggest rallies, always full, no empty seats. Okay.
I'm not sure whether that's before or after he started filleting the microphone. So,
Oh my goodness.
Peter, you look
that classic YMCA dance that goes like this.
Oh, that was just after he actually pretended to fillet the fucking microphone. Anyway.
Yeah.
There you go. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, good luck.
Look after your own mental health. Look after each other. I'm lucky that every week I get to meet up with these beautiful people who are incredibly intelligent, kind, and full of empathy and are generally beautiful. And all of you in the chat as well. Thank you for being who you are. And we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.